Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
Welcome into this special Wednesday extra edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me. So tonight I was just going to bring you my interview with Ole Miss offensive lineman John Wayne Oliver. I'm still going to do that, but now you've got this news out of Louisiana that impacts three former, possibly current Ole Miss football players and the extra year of eligibility. What does it mean? What do we know right now? Not much, but we'll talk through that a little bit. And then, as promised, my interview with Ole Miss offensive lineman John Wayne Oliver. It's a really good one. Hope you guys will stick around for that. It was, you know, in the middle of training camp, and you could tell he was worn out, but he gave us a great interview, so hope you guys enjoyed that. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about this case and Daquan Wright, Wydette Williams, and Xavien Harris on this edition of the podcast. Subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And even though it's an extra edition, the podcast generally is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got America's Tractor, the John Deere, 0% financing on all of them. So go buy in Scruggs in Saltillo. Everything you need under one roof for your farm, inside of your house, home furnishings, appliances, home improvement, your hunting property, your farm, and more. Scruggs in Saltillo, Saltillo. Check them out. Tell them it was me that sent you. Also, Logan Smith, shelter insurance for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. 601-823-3500. Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. And Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So we don't tonight, or at least right now, need to go through the ridiculousness that this is from a big picture perspective. I think that I'm one of those people that has spent years talking about the NCAA and how their rules are basically oversimplified way to describe. I'm not very smart. Their rules are essentially unconstitutional. And I have been very much against the NCAA for many years because I think their process has been flawed. They have selectively enforced things. They have applied waivers here but not here. And they don't know how to govern college sports. They do a very bad job of it. They created this 5-for-5 mess by not doing it back in January when people were talking about it. They chose to do it late and probably on purpose. But that's a conversation for another day. And the schools and the conferences are really to blame here because the NCAA has been asked to defend the indefensible, the legally indefensible. And the schools and conferences have known that stuff like this has been coming for years, and they have chosen to just beg Congress for help. And imagine that. That hasn't worked out. We've talked about that a lot. We don't need to rehash that. I think that a lot of the rulings against the NCAA have been just and the correct ones and legally appropriate. I think that this has gone too far. This is the bridge too far. Players that have been paid by professional organizations, the next level that has given them contracts and paid them, you should not be allowed to do that and then come back to school. There was this huge fight against Charles Bediako, and he only got paid by G League teams, and he was blocked from coming back. Greg Sankey got involved in that. I think that the SEC and the Big Ten should get involved here as well. I know the judge in Louisiana apparently ruled against the possibility for the SEC to enforce their intra-conference transfer rules. I would go to legal war over that. If I were the Big Ten and the SEC, I would tell my member institutions these guys can't transfer, that they can't play. This is the line. There is a line where it can get to. There's a line, and bringing back to college players that have signed contracts with NFL teams that are currently in training camp is too far. And that line has been crossed, and they need to dig their heels in and fight this, in my opinion. Here is the line where they need to dig in and fight with all they can. This is the line that I think that the NCAA is correct in trying to defend, and a Louisiana judge is one that ruled against that. There's a lot of things that the NCAA does that, again, I disagree with. I think that the Pavia rule was the correct one. I think the Trinidad ruling was the correct one. Will Whitson at Mississippi State, for example, is a seventh year, and I think he's earned that if you look at how that has happened. I think that's okay, that he should be allowed to play. But guys that spent this year, this training camp with an NFL team, getting paid by an NFL team, turning around and coming back to college is nonsense, and we should not allow this to happen. And everybody should dig their heels in on that. And I think universally people are kind of in favor of this. But anyway, I'm more focused on tonight for the sake of this podcast, not the big picture stuff, but more about the three players that played at Ole Miss last year that were part of this lawsuit in Louisiana. There were 16 total. Large number of them are still currently in NFL training camps, one of which had a couple of sacks for the Bucs over the weekend. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about here. But it's Wydette Williams, Daquan Wright, and Xavien Harris. And the second this ruling comes down, the first thing that I saw from, you know, the Ole Miss internet space was, oh, bring them back, bring them back. They're coming back. No questions asked. Like, yes, look at this team with these three guys. And the initial reaction is always that, but from what we know right now, as of this recording at 8:50 on Wednesday night, it's not that simple, and it will never be that simple. And also, it takes two to tango. Take Wydette Williams, for example. He's still in training camp right now. I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, but he's still in training camp. Does he leave training camp to try to join a team? Any team, because I guess the judge has allowed them to be able to enter the transfer portal. We know that because Xavien Harris apparently is in the transfer portal. More on him in a second. But if you're Ole Miss, of course you would want, I think you would want Wydette Williams back. Now you have to think about how you get that. Do you have to cut a player to make a roster spot for him? Will he fit in what you're currently doing in the defensive back room? Financially, can you make it work? There's a lot of those kind of questions. Do you want to bring in a player on your team just a couple of weeks before your season opener? Maybe that's a dumb question, and the answer is obviously yes. But from the player that you had last season, of course you would want that player back on this year's team because he would provide quality depth in case somebody gets hurt in the secondary. That would be a thing that Ole Miss should pursue, I think. But it takes two to tango. If you're Wydette Williams and you somehow can leave an NFL training camp and join a college team, are you going to join a team that you're that you're not going to start for? I do not think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do not think Wydette Williams would start for this team. I think they looked at that position and saw that they had good, say they were okay, and it, you know, he played well last season, but I think that they could have been better, and they have possibly upgraded at that position. Is he guaranteed to start at Ole Miss? I don't think so. What's his playing time situation going to look like at Ole Miss? What if he wants to go somewhere that is in desperate need for a safety that he would start right away? I don't know that answer, but I do know that that's something that these players will have to consider. And also, this judge's ruling has apparently bypassed SEC rules on the interconference transfer, so I guess he could transfer within the SEC. But again, I would put my foot down and try to stop it. But there's no guarantee that he would start at Ole Miss. So it's not as simple as, well, he's coming back, because there might be some better options for him in that regard. Daquan Wright, also somebody that, even though I saw some reporter, I don't know if he's legit or not, make reference to the fact that Daquan Wright has not been at training camp the last couple of days. But would you want him, last year's version of Daquan Wright, on this year's team? Well, 100%, without a doubt, absolutely. That answer is yes, but you've also already added a lot to your tight end room. And would he want to come back to that team also not being guaranteed a starting spot? You probably think, oh, of course he's going to start. He started last year, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he did. But Luke Haas is finally healthy. Caleb Odom's role is expanding, and he's gained weight. And are you sure that you're going to get the same starting reps that you got last season on this year's team? Or is there somebody in the ACC or the Big 12, or maybe, I guess, even in the SEC that you're guaranteed to play more and put more stuff on tape. I don't know. Again, I don't know. The Xavien Harris part is the most interesting one to me because that's another, all three of these guys, just if you could get last year's guy on this year's team, of course, no brainer, you would want them. Everything that I said about Wright and Williams would apply there. Would he be guaranteed to start on this team? I don't know if that answer is yes. He'd be a super quality depth piece. Last year's version of him would be a super quality depth piece on this year's team. He has apparently entered the transfer portal. It said in the reporting that he is open to returning to Ole Miss. But he wouldn't be guaranteed to start on this team. In fact, I would bet against that right now pretty heavily. I think that the timing of not only did he get hurt in the lead up to training camp and all that anyway, so he was battling an injury. I think the timing of his release from New Orleans tells you a lot. I don't think that, I mean, the Saints had an injury on the defensive line, had another injury on the defensive line. He didn't even make it through training camp before he got cut, and he signed a deal with the Saints, and they cut him long before they needed to. And I think that does tell you something. I would not be surprised if presently he's not necessarily in the shape that you would need him to be in order to come in and take a spot and be willing to take what comes with that. I mean, after talking to a couple people today, I'm not convinced that he would be ready to step right in and start playing for Ole Miss right now in the same way that he played for them last year. I don't know if that's the case. Somebody brought up to me the possibility of him switching to offensive line. That would probably be the best career move for him. So maybe he comes back to college to do that. I don't know. But would he be willing to come to a place that he would not get the snaps that he got last year? He would not be guaranteed to start. Again, he's coming off of an injury that the Saints cut him when they cut him for a reason. Are you confident that he'd be in great shape? And are you confident that that would add enough value to your team this late in the process? I don't know those answers. I think his case is a little bit different than the other two in terms of what you'd be getting from the player immediately. We'll see where that goes. I know that it would be better for me to make up stuff or be like, this is huge news and Ole Miss is going to be so much better now and all these guys are coming back. But the truth is it's more complex than you hope that it would be. But it is a lot more complex. I assume they would have to cut players. They would have to convince at least one of these guys, you're going to come in and be a depth piece. And I don't know how well that will go over. I think Daquan Wright is not guaranteed to get the snaps that he got last year on this team if he were to not make his team and try to come back into college. And I'm not totally convinced that Xavien Harris would be practicing right now anyway, or at least not preparing to be, the defensive tackle next to William Echols right now in the current state. We'll see. I don't know. I do not know, but I do know it's a mess and it's chaotic. But this idea that Ole Miss is going to just slap the three of them on the roster and boom, plug and play, and everything's all good and everybody's going to be happy and these guys want to come back even though they're not guaranteed to start it, it's not that simple. And I certainly don't expect all three of them for sure to come back to Ole Miss, and I wouldn't be surprised if none of them do. Maybe they do. Well, of course, we'll keep track of that. That wasn't sourced, by the way, saying that none of them are going to come back. I think it's complicated and it takes two to tango. And none of those guys, I think, would have the role that they had on last year's team. So anyway, something to monitor for sure. All right. Here's my conversation now with, and this will end the podcast as well. You'll hear the in and out about the Not Fall Camp Tour in Oxford that Haydad and I did for the radio show. But really good stuff with Ole Miss offensive lineman John Wayne Oliver. And here that conversation is for you. And when that ends, that'll end the podcast. Really appreciate you guys being here. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
It's the Not Fall Camp Tour stop number 3. We are in Oxford, joined now by Ole Miss offensive lineman John Wayne Oliver in the middle of training camp, and let's start here. Are you still having fun, or have you crossed into the point where you're kind of miserable and hoping the season just gets here?
Yeah, you've gotten to that point. We're about halfway there. You just got to keep on going, man. But it's going good so far.
So physically, how you feeling? I know in the past you've battled some injury stuff, and camp is a grind, and especially the position you play is a grind. Like, are you extra tired? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I got injured last year, but I was able to do spring ball. I did all spring ball this spring, and I've done all fall camp so far. I haven't missed anything.
So let's go back to the end of last season. The reality in your sport now is guys leave places. You are a high-profile recruit out of high school. You had a coaching change, and you did not entertain the transfer portal. You stayed right where you are. Why did you choose to stay at Ole Miss?
This place has been good to me, and I didn't feel like I felt like I was wanted here, and I didn't want to go anywhere else.
And so now in comes John David Baker. Had a chance to visit with Trinidad and Kiwan at SEC Media Days, and they described the offense as mostly the same but a little bit different from an offensive line perspective. What is some similarities that you can share anyway and differences in this offense under John David Baker?
Pretty much nail on the head on that one. It's the exact same, I feel like. It wasn't a big change for me because I've played every position so far since I've been here, so it was smooth sailing for me.
And your offensive line coach, John Garrison, stayed. I'm sure that helps as well. Are they – If you're allowed to share this, I may be putting you on the spot. Are you working? You said multiple positions, or is that still something that they're working on with you? If you need to play center, you can do it. If you need to play guard, tackle, all of them, you can do them all?
Yeah, I can do them all, but I'm mainly working guard right now, but anything can happen. I know how to play all of them, and I've done it.
Is that difficult? And how difficult is that position by position? Because an idiot like me looks at the offensive line, and well, it's the offensive line, but how different is center versus guard versus tackle and how you have to learn and play all three positions?
For me, like, I was playing left tackle my freshman year, 2024. I was just, like, buried in the depth chart, though. Then I got moved to center for fall camp. And I was like, oh, God. And I was a backup center. And, like, playing center, if you can play center, you can play all the other positions because you know everyone else's job. So it's helped me playing center. I can play everything.
So a lot of, I guess, you know, studying it more so than anything else, making sure that you know exactly what to do. Which is the hardest one?
Run blocking, guard, pass blocking, tackle. Center, you got to be like that. You can't, like. You have to be very smart to play center. Like Bryson, our center, he's a very smart guy.
Well, good to know. So I guess technically they would call you a smart guy. See, I could never play center. I would be in big trouble. So you go up against the defense in practice every day. There's been a lot made about how deep this defensive line room is. You can't say Will Echols. Who is the most difficult defensive lineman on the team besides the projected first-round pick in Will Echols?
I'd say either the new Florida transfer D-tackle, Makai, and J.B., Jamarius Brown.
So, Makai, saw a video from practice. That is a mountain of a human being.
Yeah, he's big.
I mean, I imagine. So, what is that competition like, by the way, when you guys go up against a defensive line? I know it's a nasty game, but, like, Are you guys buddies, or is it in practice? It's like, I'm trying to bury this guy in the ground, and I'm not friendly with him until we get into the locker room. What's that dynamic like between your unit and their unit across from you?
It's like what you said. You're not friends on the field, but when we get in the locker room, we're teammates. We're cool. No one remembers what happened on the field when we get in the locker room.
So a little bit of scuffling happens, or are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, it does happen a lot.
What does John Garrison think about that? Because some NFL coaches, they want it just a little bit, you know, maybe not necessarily punches flying, but a little after play shoving is something they encourage. Yeah, does John Garrison like that?
I mean, he just, if something happens between two people, you can't have the other lineman come and like hit him from the back, because that'll start a massive brawl. You just, If two guys get into it, they have to stay. You can't just bring everyone into it. That's how people get hurt.
Your quarterback, he's a veteran. He's getting a ton of attention and all of that. How do you think he is handling this offseason where not only is he the guy, but ESPN's coming in to do features on him. He's getting Heisman odds. How does he handle all that?
Oh, he's handling it probably best as you can because, shoot, when I met Trinidad May of 2025, he just walked in their weight room, introduced himself to me. I didn't know who he was, hardly. I don't know if y'all knew who he was, but this time.
Not really, honestly, no.
Yeah, I was a second team center during fall camp, so he was my quarterback, so I was able to get to know him pretty well, and he's handled it great.
And now, so your role, by the way, one more thing on you, your role, you're getting prepared to play a lot of positions. Are you expected to take a step forward in terms of playing time and things like that this season?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And are you ready for that?
Oh, yeah, I've been ready.
So I was looking at your bio, by the way, that this made me laugh. I don't remember this happening, but you may, or it may be a typo. You were credited for a tackle last season.
Yeah.
Do you remember your tackle?
Yeah, it was against the first Tulane game because I'm on the punt shield. I'm going to do that again this year, but I protect the punter. I'm like on the front line, mm-hmm. and Oscar punted it, and the punter made a couple guys miss, and the punter was running down the sideline. I just decked him out of bounds.
See, why don't I remember that? I can't believe I don't remember that. But yeah. I mean, obviously, you liked it, right? Like making a tackle is a lot of fun.
I played D line in high school. I can do it.
Do you miss it?
Playing defense, no.
Yeah, you know, no. Why not?
That's not for me. I'm not a good enough athlete to play D line.
So your team brought in some transfers on the offensive line, most especially at tackle, but some on the interior as well. What do you and a guy like Bryson that have been with the program for a little while, do you take it upon yourselves to help them acclimate to the program? What's that bonding like with your offensive line unit?
Oh, we brought in some good guys. Like, we brought in a guy named Troy Everett from Oklahoma, who's a sixth year. He's played a lot of football, so we have guys like that, Tommy, Carius, Enoch, all those guys are pretty good dudes. So it's been easy. We didn't really have to do much with them.
What do you guys do? Out of curiosity, do you guys hang out? You grill out? Do you guys go play golf? I asked Kiwan about golf. Apparently, he plays golf. Do you guys too?
Oh, they play golf. I'm not a big golfer. I'd rather go like fishing or shoot guns. But we went to the whole line in Trinidad, and the running backs went to eat a couple of weeks ago before fall camp started.
Hopefully he paid, considering, you know, his life is in your hands, right?
Yeah, he got the bill.
He better. He's also, you know, he's taking it a little bit more these days, so he can help you guys out. All right, so you like to go fishing, you like to hunt. You just like walk on a golf course, go to a bass pond. When you're fishing in the area, where do you go?
Here, shoot, you can't find nothing here. I'd go to Wellsgate, but then they kick me out. That's the only place I know of around here. I go to Sardis, and you're not going to catch nothing unless you have a boat at Sardis.
I'm telling you, I used to go to Wellsgate and go fishing and would get kicked out at Wellsgate all the time.
I parked and I get kicked out. Like, I get out of my car.
I feel like the athletic department, we're visiting with Keith later today. This is airing on Tuesday. And I'm going to tell Keith, like, the football team should get a free pass to, like, the local ponds. Just,
yes.
Hey, I'm on the football team. Let me go fishing here.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, we need to get you a boat, man. Get you out to Sardis, mm-hmm. catch those big old catfish. You ever been noodling?
No, I know what it is, though. I've gone catfishing a lot, but I've never noodled. I don't know if I want to lose my thumb.
You know, they do that out there at Sardis. People, I have a, and I don't know if the bathtubs are still out there, but I know a guy that used to submerge bathtubs in Sardis and use those as catfish holes. We need to get you out there.
Yeah, I'd go.
So going into this season, a lot of hype and expectations, but you have a really quality opponent in week one in Louisville. Mm-hmm. What has been, have you guys started working on Louisville? Have you watched some film? What are the coaches saying about your week one opponent in Nashville?
Yeah, they're a good team. They beat Miami last year and Miami beat us. So like we've been looking at them already, but they're going to be a good team to play against week one. Mm-hmm. These past 2 years I've been here, we've had cakewalks first 2 weeks.
Yeah, because there's been so much talk about, you know, the SEC opener LSU in week three. But, I mean, like you said it, I mean, it's a team that beat Miami last year that you're meeting on a neutral site. That's a huge game and a great opportunity for you guys. When you are not practicing or playing football and not shooting guns and fishing, when you're looking to just disconnect, what does John Wayne Oliver do?
I have a massive vinyl collection of country music records. I love
music.
I love listening to music, watching movies.
Is it new stuff, though? Is it like Jelly Roll, or are we talking the good stuff?
No, Jelly Roll. See, my dad managed George Jones and booked Hank Jr. for 30 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, because I'm from Nashville.
So tell me about that. Did you get to kind of be around that when you were a kid? What was that like?
No, whenever I was born, he quit doing all of that because he wanted to be around me more. So,
okay. Yeah. But you still got the taste of it. What's your record player like? Is it one of those little desktop ones, or do you have like
it's
old
right over
school?
Here. It's pretty big. I've got about 150 vinyls.
150. Is it all country, or do you kind of branch out a little bit?
I've got some Lynyrd Skynyrd that's like Southern Rock. I've got ZZ Top. I like Otis Redding. He's a soul.
Man,
Booker T and the MGs. Bob Seger. Trying to think of anything that's not country.
If you said Bob Seger to every player on your team, how many of them would respond knowing who that is?
Oh, probably like 4 or 5 people.
I think he's the most underrated rock musician of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he should have the career that Springsteen had. I think Springsteen is worth like 10 times more net worth than Seger, and I think that's just a crime.
Yeah, Springsteen's a little too outspoken.
Oh, man. So a vinyl collection. I've gotten to interview many players over the years. I don't think any of them have said that answer. It's mostly like, I play Xbox or hang out with my girlfriend.
Jaden Williams helped me get started, too. He had
really?
He had a huge collection, way bigger than mine. He probably had 500 of them.
So vinyl's making a comeback with young people. I know there's a great record shop there in Oxford. I assume you.
I've been 20, 30 times. And the antique store's got a bunch of them. The one by Jinsei.
Yeah.
Depot.
Man, we need to get them to hook you up with an NIL deal. There's a missed business opportunity here.
Yeah.
And I got to ask, I know it's cheesy, I bet everybody asks, but you're a member of the all-name team. And I mean, is that a direct, you're named after the actor? Is that how that happened?
Partially. My dad's Wayne and my grandpa was John. And my dad, he's older. He's in his 70s. So he got to meet John Wayne a couple times, like the actual actor John Wayne. He was his hero growing up. So he said if he had a son, he's going to name him after me or aim awesome. After him.
Your running back room, the guys behind you. So we asked you about Trinidad. We all know about Kiwan. What are some of the other guys, whether it be Mills Knight, who was there, and you brought a handful of others via portal. Who stands out to you from that room?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of depth, like way more than that. Like since I've been here, the deepest room we've had. Frazier from Michigan State's really good. JT Lindsey's really good. We got Dye. He's good, too. Mills Knight. Like all these guys can easily play.
And your coach has said often that it seems like you guys are a group of guys that really like each other, that it's a team that really enjoys just being around each other. Why do you think that is?
Because of what we went through last year and connected, like all the guys that are still here, like we bonded pretty well over like all that adversity. And so I think that's why.
And I mean, people use that word, you know, there's all these training camp buzzwords, you know, get 1% better, building culture and all that. But clearly that matters. When you say that right there, you bonded over having to go through that kind of stuff. I mean, that contributes to winning, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, man, I really appreciate your time. I know you're in the dog days of camp right now.
Yeah, I'm on my lunch break.
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't want to just take a nap instead of do this, but but we really appreciate you. Good luck this season, and this is really great. So we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.